Kumusta po kayong lahat? Maraming salamat po for joining us tonight. Magandang gabi po sa inyong lahat. Ako po si Christian Esguera. And welcome po sa ating episode tonight, February 9, dito po sa ating Facts First podcast. Sarap ng araw ngayon na medyo hindi masyado matraffic kung nagbiyahe po kayo kanina dahil holiday. Tingnan po natin bukas, no? Pero at least medyo bawas na bawas po drastically ang traffic po dito sa Metro Manila at least. Anyway, maski, of course, holiday today, meron po tayong importanteng pag-uusapan po, no? Dahil tuloy-tuloy po itong push ng ating mga politiko, ng ating mga kagalang-galang ng mga kongresista, pati na rin po ilang mga senador, para po palitan o pakialaman ang ating 1987 Constitution. No, each time meron pong push to amend or revise the 1987 Constitution, understandably, meron pong pushback, no? Ang tanong lagi, kailangan ba talagang palitan yan o amyendahan at least? So yun po yung pag-uusapan natin ngayon. We look at the nitty-gritty of this latest push to amend the so-called economic provisions lang daw ng ating 1987 Constitution. So I decided to invite an expert regarding this, no? Ang makakausap po natin ay dating Solicitor General ng ating bansa. He topped the bar in 1999 and he taught constitutional law for 20 years dyan po sa University of the Philippines. I'd like to welcome to our program again si former Solicitor General Florine Helbay. Magandang gabi, sir, and thank you for joining us again dito sa Facts First.
Hi, Christian. Good evening. Good evening din sa ating mga tagapakinig at sa mga nanonood ng Facts First.
Again, nakalimutan ko nga pala, attorney, no? Siya rin po ang dean ng Silliman University College of Law. Pasensya ka na, no? Alam ko hindi mo kailangan ng mga ganyang introduction, pero wala lang, gusto ko lang patahimikin yung mga trolls na paparating, no? Dahil very technical yung pag-uusapan natin dito, no? Para at least wala na mga tanong-tanong. Sino ba yung kinakausap mo tungkol sa konstitusyon? Paki-Google na lang po yung pangalan ni Attorney Florine Helbay. Okay ba? Okay. O, puntahan natin ito. Unang-una, ano ba tingin mo rito sa latest push to amend the 1987 Constitution? Do you agree na kailangang pakialaman yung Constitution at this time?
Okay, so yung TLDR, di ba? Yung, in short, hindi naman talaga kailangan. It's a distraction. Almost amounts to gaslighting of the public. Yung attention ng bayan, nadidistract lang doon sa mga kailangan tutukan. If you're interested in how to improve the economy, kung paano paunlurin ang ating ekonomiya, siguro ang dapat tutukan is yung level ng corruption, competence sa mga public officials, yung bloated size of our government, and yung unmanageable debt. So kung tututukan mo yun, I think you can improve the economy by tons and tons. Pero kung ang sasabihin mo na para ma-improve yung ating bayan, no, kailangan nating ibenta or pamigay sa mga dayuhan dahil kailangan lang makapasok para makapag-business sila dito, parang hindi ko makita yung connection, no? And if you want to go to the details mamaya, yung mga specific industries ng ating bansa na gusto lang tutukan, no? Yung education, advertising, and then yung public utilities. Kapag yan ay binuksan mo ba sa mga dayuhang mangalakal, sa mga foreign investment, will that necessarily result in economic development for the Philippines? So kahit yun, malaking question, no? We can go there later if you want to go to the details.
Sige, pumuntahan natin yan kasi nakasala ngayon yung resolution of both houses, number 6 ng Senado. So, tatlong industry at least yung gusto nilang buksan, di ba? Pero, yun nga, balikan natin ng konti yung history nitong push to amend or revise the Constitution. Ano ba yung pagkakaiba ng latest push ngayon, yung nakikita natin, kumpara dun sa mga initiatives in the past, during the previous administrations?
It's the same. No? It's the same. I think meron na ngang industriya ng mga tao na nagtutulak ng constitutional amendments dahil from the time of President Ramos to ERAP to Gloria, you know, even during the time of Pinoy, and then slightly different during the time of President Duterte, lagi namang may nagpo-push ng cha-cha, no? And most of the time, ang tinutulak talaga nila ay yung sinasabi na masyadong restrictive itong ating saligang batas, hindi makapasok yung mga dayuan, kaya parang nakathrottle yung economic potential natin. Yun lagi yung sinasabi. But ultimately, it really boils down to the danger of opening up yung ating constitution to term limits. Dahil simula pa noong 1935 constitution, yan na talaga yung naging problema, no? Kaya nga when you decided to invite me, pumunta agad ako doon sa library ko at kinuha ko itong napaka-interesanting libro, no? I think mababasa to nung makikita ng mga viewers natin. How Democracy Was Lost. It's written by Augusto Cesar Espiritu, essentially a diary of the 1971 Constitutional Convention. And dun sa opening pa lang talaga nung diary niya, na itong member ng CONCO na to, makikita mo na yung problema talaga is yung cha-cha or yung term extension. No? So yung takot talaga ng mga miyembro ng Constitutional Convention, even noong 1971, binubuksan lamang yung ating saligang batas para yung nasa taas, yung presidente, magkaroon ng oportunidad para ma-extend yung termino niya. So ganyan din ni President Ramos, no? The shift to a parliamentary form of government essentially lifts the term limit for the president. And they will do it during the first half of the president's term habang malakas pa siya. Dahil pagkatapos ng midterm elections, usually yung mga senador na nagbabalak tumakbo for vice president or the presidency, lumalabas na yung mga sungay nila. Alam nila na transition period na. So, in terms of timing, in terms of content, in terms of maybe motivation, it's always been about term limits, no? Kaya kung sasabihin ng mga tao, wait, parang conspiracy theory yan, no? Parang hindi mo naman talaga alam yung motivation ng mga nagpo-push ng charter change. Well, if you look back at history, you know, malinaw na paulit-ulit na yun talaga lagi yung binabagsakan. And number two, given the nature of our history also of our constitution, every time na susubukang buksan yung ating saligang batas, you have to think of the worst possible motivation. Diba? You have to think of the worst possible motivation. And ang tanong lagi, what's in it for the ones pushing it? So for the members of the House na pinupush, can they really honestly say na ito yung advocacy nila na ibenta yung bayan sa mga foreigners? Parang wala naman yatang maniniwala na ito yung kanilang plan or scheme for economic development for the nation. So anyone who's looking at the situation, pwede nilang sabihin talaga na baka naman meron pa talagang ibang motivation for pushing this kind of a, okay, a proposal.
Oo. Actually, a part of me wants to entertain. Siguro parang ano lang, mental exercise, no? Mm-hmm. Baka naman siguro in a way benefit of the doubt. Hindi ba pwede i-consider na iba itong pinupush nila? Yun lang naman, siguro devil's advocate for the devils. Quote unquote.
Okay.
Kasi yeah, ito lang example, no? So historically pala talagang laging ano, no? It's all about term limits. Kumbaga parang excuse lang yan to open the constitution. Pero ngayon kasi sinasabi nila, very specific yung nakalagay sa resolution namin. And di ba sinasabi nila, they don't even have to convene as a constituent assembly. Pwede siyang ipasa separately yung tinatawag na Father Joaquin Bernas model. What do you think of that?
Yeah, in theory, no, pwede naman talaga na honest to goodness na proposal yan. But you have to realize, the moment the machine starts moving, kahit ano pwede na mangyari. So, kunyari, balik tayo dun sa nangyari noong 1971, no? Akala ng mga nagsusulat ng constitution noong 1971, kayang ma-avoid yung question ng extension ng term limits nung presidente at the time. And then suddenly, nagkaroon ng declaration of martial law. When martial law was declared, lahat ng pwedeng ipasok nung presidente, na ipasok niya na. No? Ganyan din, I think, yung potential na pwedeng mangyari dyan sa proposal to separately convene. No? Pwedeng may mangyari sa House, pwedeng may mangyari sa Senate, but in the end, kailangan lang mag-convene together for a final proposal. So, yun, hindi mo na makokontrol yun. The moment they sit down together kung ano yung final proposal, parang yung bicameral conference committee for passing a regular legislation, no? Merong pwedeng ipasok. And that happens all the time, no? And na-question na yan several times sa Korte Suprema, and yung Korte Suprema, lagi niyang sinasabi na, well, pwede naman mag-insert, pwedeng magbawas pagdating sa bicameral conference committee. And so, ang malamang na mangyayari dyan, you know, they can talk about itong mga innocuous proposals to amend the Constitution, yung education, advertising, public utility. Pero pagdating dun sa tunay na usapan dun sa bicameral conference na, no, for the purpose of proposing amendments to the Constitution, pwede nang magbago yan. And kapag pumasok na yung proposal to extend the term of anyone, no, the president, vice president, or kung sino man, mahirap nang mahinto yan. And that's always the danger. Dahil, again, we need to go back to yung basic structure of our Constitution, no? Yung ating constitution is fixed. Ibig sabihin, by design, dapat siya mahirap talagang mabago or ma-alter. That's why yung amendment or revision process is designed to be equally difficult. No? Kailangan mo nga ng supermajority na 3/4 and then dapat sila magkahiwalay na nagtatrabaho dahil it's a bicameral, hiwalay na boboto dahil it's a bicameral system. So that was really meant to make it as difficult as possible for those in power to amend the Constitution. Pangalawa, and I'd like to emphasize this, you know, the best time to amend the Constitution is really during some kind of a special moment. No? So in Constitution law, ito yung tinatawag namin na constitutional moment. No? Parang yung mga nagliligawan, parang kailangan tayo magkaroon ng moment para maisip natin yung talagang gusto nating baguhin sa ating constitution. The prime example of this would be the 1986 People Power, di ba? Noong 1986, nagkaroon tayo ng revolution, and one of the acts of the revolutionary government was precisely to repudiate the 1973 constitution. And that was a constitutional moment for the Philippines because under a revolutionary system, makakatutok talaga yung mga tao doon sa gusto nilang bagong sistema ng pamamahala, bagong sistema ng gobyerno. So kung ganun yung sistema, you're under what we call a constitutional moment, no? A situation where yung mga tao, nakafocus yung attention nila doon sa nangyayari doon sa sitwasyon. Wala kang question about motives. Eh. Kasi kaya ka ngayon nagkaroon ng revolution, nagkaroon ka ng EDSA revolution, ay dahil gusto mong baguhin yung sistema. But, otherwise peaceful yung ating sitwasyon. And yung proposal hindi manggagaling doon sa mga mamamayan, nanggagaling doon sa mga may kapangyarihan. Natural, dapat yung mga tao, tumaas yung kilay nila and sabihin na, well, hindi ba pwede na you just try to govern properly? Hindi ba pwede na ibaba na natin yung level ng corruption? Hindi ba pwede na galingan na lang muna natin yung pamamalakad ng bayan? Hindi ba pwede na bawasan nyo muna yung gastos nyo? Maybe yun yung talagang magpapaulad sa ating bayan. Di ba? And that's the right attitude.
Natatawa ko rin sa mga hinihingi mo, Attorney Hilbay, no? Kasi yung sasagot sa'yo ng trapo, hindi. Palitan ng konstitusyon.
Yeah, and kung yung sagot, ang retort ko is, lalo kung hindi papayag sa cha-cha.
Okay.
Diba? Kung yung mga reasonable hinihingi ko, hindi nyo maibigay sa akin, which is good governance, honesty and transparency in government, prudence in the way the money of the people are, the money of the people is spent, and smaller government, something that's more reasonable para naman yung inflation bumaba, para hindi tayo masyado bumuutang. Kung yung mga nasa kapangyarihan nyo ngayon, hindi nyo ibibigay sa mga mamamayan. Lalo kung isasara yung pintuan dyan sa chacha na yan.
Okay. O sige, ang dami kong gustong itanong doon sa nilatag nyo, no? Sige, isa-isahin natin. So yung sinasabi nyo na historically, it's all about term limits or lifting term limits historically doon sa mga nagtatangka na palitan o baguhin yung ating konstitusyon. Pero daw yung sinasabi nyo na yan yung plenary powers ng ating mga legislators o kaya members ng Constitutional Convention kung sakaling bigyan natin sila ng karapatan to tinker with the Constitution. That definitely is expected sa isang con-as at saka sa isang con-con. Pero dito sa paraan na pinopropose nila, and this was not the first time that they proposed this, no? Pinropose ito in previous congresses. Yung bang subukan palitan yung ilang provision ng konstitusyon, amendment, na parang nagpapasa lang ng ordinaryong batas. Sinabi nyo nga kanina, pag sa bicam, anything goes na yan, no? So, ibig sabihin, hindi pa rin assurance itong tinatawag nilang Father Bernas model na magiging specific lang yung amendment. Kumbaga, pwede rin pasukan ng mga masasamang intention. Ganun ba yun? Pwedeng garapalin?
Yes, of course. No? Kasi nga, yung bicameral nature of our system, diba? Merong proposal yung House, merong proposal yung Senate. Let's assume na identical yung proposal. No? Identical yung proposal and then nagkaroon ng proseso para ipasa ng House, ng Senate, separately yung proposal to specifically amend, no? But because it's still a CONAS and under the Constitution, kailangan mo ng two houses working together, at some point they will have to meet. And the moment they meet, and one of the members of the House or one of the members of the Senate decide na, iisingit natin tong term extension for the President. Can anybody control that? No citizen can control that. Kasi the power to make the proposal is purely within the domain of the proposing entity. Diba? Ang pag nangyari yun, ang matitira na lang dyan, labanan dun sa ratification. And, you know, pagdating sa ratification, laging lugi yung mga tao kasi yung mga may interest na mag-amenda ng ating constitution, normally they're the ones in power. So, pwede lang gawin yung ginawa noong 1973, no? Nagkaroon ng maraming magic doon sa ratification. So, kailangan nating seryosohin yung proseso na talagang walang makakapasok na masamang intention, and there is no guarantee talaga na magiging airtight yung entire process na yon. Kasi kahit na malinaw yung pinropose dun sa House, malinaw yung pinropose dun sa Senate, once they join forces together and they discuss kung ano ba yung gagawin, because they are a constituent assembly, kahit ano, pwede naman nilang ipropose.
So nakakatakot. So ibig sabihin, hindi ba mag-a-apply dyan? Sorry for this very naive question. No? Magpapanggap lang ako na hindi ko alam yung sagot dito. hindi ba tayo pwede mag-rely din sa decency ng ating mga kongresista o kaya mga senador? Kasi hindi ba napakagarapal naman nun? Kunwari, wala sa original proposal, tapos bigla mo isisingit, lift the term limits, let's say, for the president or vice president, o kaya sa kanila mismo. Diba merong parang unwritten expectation dyan na kung magpapasa ka ng batas o magpaparit ka ng konstitusyon, yung mga gumawa nun, hindi dapat makinabang dun. Diba? Normally, ipapasok mo sa transitory provision na yung mga pagbabago mag-a-apply sa susunod. Pero hindi siya written in stone, diba? Tama ba?
Yeah, it's not written in stone. Kaya, you know, normally ang magandang magsulat ng mga bagong provisions ng Constitution, hindi yung mga makikinabang, di ba? Or hindi yung mga may potential conflict of interest. Pero kung yung mga magsusulat ng saligang batas or maglalagay ng mga revisions or amendments to the Constitution are those who are potential beneficiaries or beholden to the ultimate beneficiaries, then you have a problem. No? Kasi walang airtight procedure para talaga ma-ensure na under a CONAS, yung gusto nilang mangyari ngayon ay hindi bababago. No? Kung meron tayo yung tinatawag na initiative to amend the Constitution, di ba? Kung yun talaga na very specific, no? Yung pagbobotohan manggagaling dun sa baba, yung 12% of registered voters and 3% ng bawat distrito, yung hinahain, malinaw na talaga. And hindi na pwedeng baguhin. Di ba? Yun pwede pa na kung ang gusto nila is simply to amend the economic provisions. But yun nga, kung isipin mo yung proseso na yun, sinong loko-loko yung magiging advocacy niya para sa ikauunlad yung bayan, eh yung ibenta yung pribilehyo ng mga Pilipino. Wala namang siraulong gagawa nun. So it's always something else. Diba?
Yeah, oh, I get it.
Kasi sabi na economic provisions, pinapain lang yan para maglawa yung mga Pilipino na naghihirap. Oo nga naman, talaga yata naghihirap tayo dahil parang sinasakal yung ating saligang batas. But ultimately, it has to be something else, which is something that will benefit the proponent or who's behind the proponent.
Naalala ko tuloy, Attorney Hilba, yung ano eh. Hindi ko lang kung nadinig mo na itong kwento na to. Joke to eh, no? Yung para bang come on na hindi, dito ako pumunta, maganda rito. Diba sabi ng demonyo? Maganda rito, diba? All the food that you want, the best resort, diba? All the pleasure in the world that you can imagine. Tapos umuo naman siya. Pagdating dun sa loob, apo yung inabutan niya. E ba't ka pumayag? I'm the devil, diba? Naalala mo yung kwento? Para may pagkaganyan ba yan? Kumbaga lahat ng come on babanggitin sa'yo, pero pagpasok mo, dun na magkakaalaman yung tunay na intention. Is that what you're saying? Come on lang yung economic.
Well, what I'm saying is you have to assume na kung may possibility na hindi airtight yung proseso na mape-prevent yung potential na pag-insert ng term limits or some other provisions of the Constitution na hindi pinag-uusapan ngayon, mangyayari yun. You have to assume that that's going to happen. Kasi kung talagang seryoso na yung economic provisions lang, then ipasa muna nila yung isang batas, which is a law that enacts yung provision ng ating constitution for initiative. Diba? Kasi nga, sabi ng constitution, sabi ng ating Korte Suprema na there is no law that enables yung that particular provision of the constitution. Okay, sige, di ipasa nila.
Yung PI.
Yes, so yung PI, ma-enable na talaga. Kung meron mga mamamayan na yung talaga yung advocacy nila, yung ibenta yung ating pribilehyo sa mga dayuan. Okay, sige. They create a process, no? Through an enabling law. So, kung meron talagang PI na procedure, then makikita mo talaga ito ba yung pinopropose. Yan lang yung ipinopropose na amendment nila. And therefore, yan lang yung pwedeng pag-usapan. Kasi Yung people's initiative is only an amendment and it has to be very specific. And dadaan yan dun sa mga distrito, dadaan yan dun sa COMELEC. So talagang isa lang yung pagbobotohan. Gusto nyo bang buksan yung economic provisions with respect to this particular part of the Constitution? Then that's what I would consider an airtight na provision na walang possibility na may mai-insert.
Kasi diba? Talagang isa so, lang, isang topic lang.
That's right. So, anyway, since the administration has good control over the House and every administration in this under the Constitution will have control over the House dahil dun sa dynamics ng budget natin, then kung talagang honest to goodness na proposal to amend ang gusto nila, yun na lang yung gawin. No? Magpasa ng batas, enabling yung people's initiative. And then yung mga supporters na yan, kuno, na gusto talaga nilang i-push yung opening up ng economic provisions ng ating constitution sa mga dayuhan, then let's do that. No? Let's wait a while para airtight talaga. Otherwise, hindi ako maniniwala na honest to goodness yung proposal.
Okay. Ito naman. Assuming na meron talagang enabling law na sapat, no? Yung hubog, itsura, pati yung nakalatag na paraan para isagawa yung people's initiative. Sabi nyo kasi hindi sapat, no? I suppose you were referring to the Supreme Court decisions regarding that, no? Yung Santiago versus Comelec. And Lambino versus Comelec. Okay. So assuming lang na meron na tayong ano, enabling law para isagawa itong People's Initiative, eh kasi yung nakalatag ngayon sa pakanan nilang People's Initiative, di ba ang sinasabi, dapat bumoto jointly ang mga miyembro ng Senado at ng House of Representatives. Ang una kong tanong, revision ba yon o amendment? Okay? Yan.
Well, dun sa voting jointly, I think malinaw na they should vote separately. No? Number one, if you look at the structure of our constitution, it's a bicameral na Congress. No? Nung sinusulat nila yung 1987 constitution ng 1986, yung original na design was a unicameral body. But at the end of the day, nagkaroon sila ng mainit na discussion and they decided na no, we need to have a bicameral system of Congress. Ang naiwan lang is yung lingwahe ng revisions or amendments provision article of our constitution. So that's one. No? Malinaw na yung design ng ating constitution na dapat hiwalay sila. Pangalawa, again, balik ako dun sa first principle na we have a fixed constitution. Yung design ng ating constitution ay talagang dapat mahirap yung pag-amyenda or pag-revisa ng ating constitution. Now, if you're going to make the House and the Senate vote jointly, eh pinadali mo. So that's contrary to the philosophy or the design, again, of our constitution. So dapat talaga sila na hiwalay.
Pero yun nga, pwede bang yun ang maging topic ng People's Initiative na gusto nga nilang palitan in the first place? Dahil merong hindi raw malinaw, di ba? Debatable sa kanila yan, whether to vote jointly or separately. Doon sa sinusulong na PI ngayon, hindi, dapat bumoto kayo jointly.
Ah,
makukonsider ba yun? Makukonsider ba yun na amendment o revision?
Yeah, it's weird, pero imagine yung the amount of effort, national attention, and money that you will have to spend para itweak lang yung particular provision ng constitution na yun. No? Para,
precisely.
Again, no, babalik ka doon sa motivation ng mga nagpupush na parang mga lasing lang yata kayo na sinasayang yung attention ng mga mamamayan para dyan sa ganyang tipo ng proposal. No? Number one, yung expense. You will have to spend billions for that kind of an amendment to the constitution na napakababaw kung iisipin mo, no? So, how many billions of pesos do you have to spend? And then, yung national attention. So, imagine na napakaraming problema ng bayan, napakataas ng inflation, matindi yung traffic, hirap na hirap yung mga mamamayan, and then ubusin mo yung attention ng bayan para sabihin na, no, we want to revise the constitution para voting jointly instead of separately. So, I don't think anyone will want to engage those types of people in that kind of a debate in the first place.
Correct. Kasi kung gusto mong palitan o amendahan, di ba, ang PI pang amendment lang, no? Kung gusto mong amendahan, edi diretsuhin mo na kung ano yung provision na gusto mo. Tama ba?
Exactly. Exactly. Which brings you back to the motive. Sino ba yung nagpopondo dito sa mga taong ito na parang ang dami nilang oras para ubusin yung atensyon ng mamamayan, di ba? And who's giving them the attention in the first place? Kasi, you know, kapag ganyan ka weird, no, ganyan ka strange yung mga tipo ng proposal, you have to assume that they're being funded by someone else, no, na para talagang gumalaw ng ganyan.
Correct. At saka hindi ko ma-imagine, no, not to judge naman our ordinary Filipinos, pero top of mind concern ba yan ng ordinaryong Pilipino na hindi, kung may paparitan ako sa konstitusyon, eh gusto ko bumoto iisa. Ang dalawang kapalungan ng Kongreso. I mean, sa dami ng pwede mo maisip, di ba? Kumbaga, ano ba yan? Top of mind ng isang ordinaryong Pilipino. I mean, it's very, ano, very weird.
Yeah, that's right. No, so, like yun nga, yung, you know, we've spent a lot of time about debating about the West Philippine Sea. And every now and then, some people will say, you know, hindi naman nakakain yung issue ng West Philippine Sea. But still, you would say na napaka-importante na issue yan na dapat pa rin ma-discuss at the national and local level. Pero itong tipo ng proposal na to, no, a proposal to amend the constitution para hiwalay or jointly magboto yung House and yung Senate in case of an amendment or revision to the Constitution. Parang, you know, pakiramdam mo talaga ginagaslight lang yung mga tao.
Oo nga eh. Ito nga pala, may tanong, no? Although nabanggit na natin ito in previous episodes, pero ito maganda manggaling sa inyo, no? Again, ibibida ko lang si Attorney Florine Hilbay, no? Bartop Nature yan, 1999. Alam ko awkward sa iyo, na? But indulge me, okay? Taught constitutional law for 20 years, former Solgen, and now the Dean of the Silliman University College of Law. May tanong si Joy. Ano ba yung difference ng amendment at revision ng Constitution? Sige, para sa mga hindi pamalinaw.
Yung, kumbaga, in broad strokes, yung pagka ang pinagkaiba ng amendment at revision, yung amendment is very specific na pagpapalit ng isang provision or artikulo ng ating saligang batas. Yung revision is an overhaul ng ating saligang batas mismo. Merong debate kung yung isang amendment ba, napaka-importante, would amount to a revision. But that's an academic discussion. No? But usually, kapag sinabi mo na pag-amienda, ito nga, yung very specific katulad nung bubuksan ba natin yung ating saligang batas sa foreign ownership when it comes to public utilities or ownership of land. So yun siguro pwede mong sabihin na amendment kasi it's very targeted and very specific. But yung revision ay pwedeng pagrepasa, no? Kaya nga it's best handled by a constitutional convention or by a constituent assembly kasi pwede silang umupo at tingnan nila yung ating saligang batas, yung 1987 Constitution, at itanong, ano ba yung mga magagandang probiso dito na pwede nating palitan? So that would amount to a revision of the Constitution. Kung baga sa isang sasakyan, di ba? An amendment would be papalitan mo yung gulong. A revision would be papalitan mo yung buong makina kasi that changes the nature of the car.
Ito example, kunwari, gustong tanggalin yung term limits para sa mga miyembro ng mababang kapulungan. Kunwari lang, di ba? Instead of 3 years for 3 terms, gusto let's say gawing 5 years, that's only. Is that an amendment or a revision?
Definitely, that's an amendment to the Constitution. No? Kasi nga, it's a very targeted na alteration of our constitution. Wala ka ng ibang dapat isipin pa, yun lang yung pag-iisipan ng mga mamamayan. We have a very verbose and wordy and lengthy constitution, no? But kung ang proposal is tanggalin yung term limit sa mga miyembro ng ating kongreso, then yun yung madaling isipin ng mga tao na yun lang yung issue, yun lang yung ha-amend natin.
Okay. Pero example, kunwari, gustong palitan na yung forma ng pamahalaan from presidential gawin ng parliamentary.
Okay.
Revision pa ba yun? Revision na ba yun?
That would be a revision kasi that changes the entire structure of the Constitution and maraming ibang mapapalitan kung yun yung babaguhin mo. Diba?
Okay.
Kasi so, hindi siya yung parang nagpalit ka lang ng brand ng gulong, binapalitan mo yung buong makina ng ating pamahalaan, ng ating gobyerno.
Ito, ano lang, gusto lang kitang asarin. Pero kunwari, may nag-propose, bago maging senador o presidente ang isang kandidato, dapat, ganito, kunwari lang, discussion lang, ganito kataas ang IQ. Dapat walang, ano, para maiwasan yung mga payaso na nai-elect, no? Yung mga ganun ba? Let's say, pinakailaman yung requirements. Although hindi naman syempre mangyayari yun because that's undemocratic. Pero yung ganung idea, that's an amendment.
Yeah, that's an amendment. Pero, you know, sabihin ko lang dyan eh, maraming ang mga matatalino, kaya nilang mas magpakapayaso pa kesa dun sa mga medyo may kakulangan, di ba?
At magnanakaw din.
Yeah, no? Yung mga highly credentialed public officials na may gustong mangyari, you know, they're willing to make clowns out of themselves para lang talaga ma-push yung kanilang ambisyon. No? So, walang kinalaman sa IQ yung pagiging payaso. It's really the the intention. Mm-hmm.
I agree, no? Kaya nga, di ba, nakalagay, yun yung minimum requirement sa Constitution, no? Hindi mo pwedeng sabihin na dapat college graduate, dapat may PhD, dapat lawyer. Kasi hindi naman siya assurance sa matino ka, no? Kumbaga, wala namang paraan actually to ensure na tama yung character na na-elect, eh, di ba?
Yeah, that's right. No, and yun nga, yung philosophy ng ating Constitution ay let's leave it up to the people to decide yung qualification and yung character. Kung gusto nila na yung mga may credentials yung iboto, then it's up to them.
Okay. Ito, puntahan natin yung pinopropose na amendments dun sa specific economic provisions ng ating 1987 Constitution. No? Ang argument kasi rito ay unang-una, restrictive daw yung ating Constitution pagdating sa pagpasok ng foreign direct investments. Unang-una, totoo ba yon? Okay? Tapos pangalawa, paki-explain. Kasi mahirap sundan to sa mga ordinaryong yung hindi maalam sa batas, no? Dito kasi sa resolution of both houses number 6, hindi naman ini-specify na ron kung ano yung gano'ng kalaki yung ibubukas sa isang industriya, di ba? Nakalagay lang doon, unless otherwise. Oh.
As may be provided by.
Ito yung exact words. As may be provided by law. Diba? So ano ba yung una muna? Ayan, unless otherwise provided by law. Ano ba ibig sabihin nun pag isiningit yun sa mga provision ng ating economic provisions?
Okay. Yung ating saligan batas kasi ngayon, as designed, ay matatawag mong nationalist in certain parts, especially dun sa economic provisions. No? So meron na requirement na 60-40 yung ownership. Meron ding restriction doon sa membership sa board, di ba? Meron nga, kailangan 100% pa yung iba. So, yun yung tinatawag natin na nationalist provisions ang ating constitution when it comes to ownership of land, educational institutions, advertising, public utility. Yun yung, kumbaga, parang call nung ating mga framers of the 1987 Constitution na okay, kailangan ilimitan natin itong mga industriya na ito. Now, every now and then, no, you have these proposals from certain sectors na no, kaya tayo nahihirapan dahil dyan. No? So, let's focus on yung mga proposals today, di ba? Education, advertising, di ba? And public utility. Right. So, unang-una, education. Kapag ba binukas mo sa foreign ownership yung education, uunlad talaga yung bayan. Medyo nakakagulat sa akin yung proposal na yan. Dahil unang-una, I think education is shifting online, di ba? Especially with artificial intelligence. So, universities will have a very difficult time surviving in the next few decades dahil yung kabataan ngayon, kaya nilang matuto sa YouTube or through the internet, especially with artificial intelligence. So, marami na yung mga natututunan na pwedeng matutunan ng through the internet or through automated, no? I-automate through artificial intelligence. So, I cannot see how opening yung educational sector to foreign ownership will promote economic development. Pangalawa, if you want quality education, actually nabuksan na to international, naging global na yung education because of the internet, right? So unless talagang skills-based yung kailangan mo, you really don't need, you know, international presence dito sa Philippines. So that's one, no, yung educational institution. Hindi ko siya makita na foreign ownership of educational institutions being a pathway to economic development. No?
Hindi ba ang argument naman nila dyan, resources? Mas makakapagbuhos ng resources kung bubuksan sa foreign ownership. How about that argument?
How much resources do you need for education? Education is getting cheaper and cheaper because of the internet, diba? Yung role ng technology is to make information more accessible. So you can go to Harvard, Yale, MIT, Stanford, marami silang mga free courses. And you will find it very difficult, in fact, to look for what an area of knowledge na hindi mo makikita sa internet today. In the next few years, yung role ng mga teachers will be what? Will be lowered and lowered, might even be marginalized dahil kung yung mga estudyante kaya nilang matuto sa YouTube and there are so many people teaching everybody on YouTube with free content, then ano pa yung role ng university except for yung purely social interaction? So yun na lang yung matitira sa mga university. So hindi ko makita na some big universities or foreign investor investing heavily in the education sector here in the Philippines, except if they want to acquire land. So baka naman yun talaga yung motivation, kasi yung isa sa pinaka-importanting asset ng mga university dito sa Pilipinas ay yung lupa because they have tax exemption. So is that the motive? Kung yun yung motive, then it's an illicit motive to acquire land through the educational sector. So hindi ko siya makita na makakatulong sa mga sa ating ekonomiya.
Okay. Pagdahan natin yun sa public services, no? Hindi pa ba sapat yung pag-amienda rin sa Public Service Act? Kailangan pa bang buksan yung ibang industriya?
I think this was mentioned by former CJ Davide, no? Sa totoo lang, yung ating ekonomiya ay bukas na sa napakaraming investor, no? So kung bukas na rin naman yung ating ekonomiya sa mga foreign investor, in fact, may mga ibang mga abogado, no? They specialize in allowing foreign investors to come in, no? You know, through legal means but rather shady procedures, nagagawa naman na nila dito yan, eh, di ba? So, hindi ko rin makita na to what level mo kailangan buksan yung ating ekonomiya sa mga foreign investors para masabi na dahil doon sa pagbubukas ng ating ekonomiya sa foreign investors, nabuksan talaga. So, kailangan pong mabigyan ng specific types of industries na gusto nilang buksan para talagang mapag-aralan ng mga Pilipino. Kailangan ba talagang buksan yung mga sektor na yan? At kung mabuksan yung mga sektor na yan, to what extent will it redound to the benefit of ordinary Filipinos? Kasi kung yung modelo is kung mas maraming investment dito, uunlad yung bayan, hindi ako naniniwala na automatic siya talaga. Kasi whatever profits these foreigners make, pwede naman nilang kunin agad at ibalik doon sa kanilang pinanggalingan, di ba? So hindi siya ganun malinaw yung connection na just by opening up different sectors of the country to foreign investment ay uunlad agad tayo.
Yung ano nga, yung binabanggit po ba na may mga abogado ang specializing in making it legal? Ito ba yung dummies? Ito ba yun?
I don't want to focus doon sa practice ng ibang mga abogado, pero di ba, nagagawa naman nila talaga yung ganyan, and there are ways to allow foreign investors to invest here in the Philippines na that makes it basically legal for these entities to engage in business here.
Ito, lagyan natin ng ano, ng very concrete example. Kunwari yung energy distribution tsaka transmission. Diba so okay. Far on then 40% pa rin, no? Ano ba yung danger pag pinayagan mo 100% foreign ownership yung mga industriya na yan?
Well, you know, yung mga industriya na yan are called critical infrastructure. No? Critical infrastructure. Kung kayang makontrol ng mga foreigners yung iyong critical infrastructure, then your national security is compromised, your economic development is compromised, hawa ka nila sa leeg. So, kahit na, you know, medyo masakit sa puso mo na nililimita sa mga malalaking businessman na Pilipino yung ganyang types ng critical infrastructure, at least nandito sila, they're within your jurisdiction, and because they're Filipinos, the theory is, they have concern dahil grounded yung kanilang presence dito sa ating bayan. But the moment na inopen mo sa foreign ownership yung critical infrastructure, then you create no? Potentially so many problems. And for example, 'di ba, we talk about yung potential control ng China doon sa grid ng Pilipinas na pwede nila tayong i-shutdown and they can use that as leverage kapag nagkaroon ng problema, say, over the West Philippine Sea or over illegal immigration ng Chinese. Yun talaga yung pinoprotektahan mo doon. No? So, ang policy decision dyan basically is, and I think a lot of countries also do that, we want to make sure na it's nationally, it's controlled by Filipinos, yung mga certain types of infrastructure industries na tinatawag natin na critical infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yung sa ano, yung sa proposal sa RBH number 6, I think kasama rito yung advertising, no? Ano bang ano niyan? Meron ba necessity yan to actually, you know, like, look into that? Yeah.
Balik ka doon sa basic na proposal when it comes to changing the constitution. Are you seriously telling me that the pathway to economic development is by having foreigners, right, investing fully in the advertising industry? Hindi ko makita na ganung kalaki yung advertising industry na impact para maiangat, no, yung buhay ng mga ordinaryong mamamayan. Number two, if you are going to focus on the advertising industry, you have to realize that it shifted away from franchise-held corporations to platforms, di ba? So, sino yung may control ng advertising today? Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. There are global companies, right? There are global companies na have global presence and are able to advertise because of their control over data. So, yung advertising industry, hindi naman siya ganun kalaki talaga dito sa Pilipinas para magkaroon ng impact doon sa economic development natin. So, again, no, balik ka doon sa proposal na kung meron akong kausap, kunyari ikaw, Christian, yung may proposal na yan, ang tatanong ko lang naman sa'yo, gusto mong baguhin yung ating saligang batas dahil ang paniniwala mo ay kapag pumasok yung mga dayuhan sa advertising industry ay uunlad ang bayan natin? Parang hindi ko talaga makita, no? Babalik ako doon sa paulit-ulit kong sinasabi, kung gusto mong umunlad ang bayan natin, siguro dapat mabawasan yung korupsyon, mas magaling yung mga politiko, mas maliit yung gobyerno, mas mababa yung utang. Kasi yun, that's within the control of our national leaders, di ba? And they can do that without having to change the constitution.
Mm. Kaya, ang isa ko nga rin iniisip, no? Yung mga mamumuhunan ba na dayuhan, isa ba yan sa mga iniisip nila, top of mind nila? Gusto ko sana mas mag-invest pa, kaso yung constitution nyo napaka-restrictive eh. Una ba yan sa kanilang re-request? I don't know whether or that's the case.
Well, in case of land ownership, you know, obviously that will make a difference. Diba? Kung ikaw yung foreign investor, you want to invest in what, large farmlands or in in logging or maybe mining. Maybe imbis na nagre-rent lang ako ng lupa or kumukuha lang ako ng lease, bilhin lang ako ng isang bundok. And if you have full ownership over certain parcels of land, then you have greater control, maybe. Or do you want the, well, obviously, if I'm a foreigner, I would prefer na when it comes to residential lots, imbis na gumagamit ako ng dummy na yung naghahanap ng girlfriend or boyfriend kunyari para yun yung bibili, ako yung may-ari ng beachfront property, eh ako na mismo yung bibili ng beachfront property. But we all know naman, lalo na yung mga abogado dyan, na yun yung nangyayari, na in many beautiful places in our country, you know, yung mga dami na yung may-ari and nag-operate talaga yung mga foreigner. Diba? So, I really just cannot see that as a pathway to the type of transformative economic development na pinapangako nitong mga nagpropose ito. Kaya ang dulo nito, merong ibang motive, kaya yan yung sinusulong. Kasi ang daling sabihin na kaya kayo mahirap eh, yung bayan nyo, dahil, you know, masyadong restrictive yung inyong sa aligang bata. So that's a nice line para doon sa mga Pilipinong hindi nakakaintindi ng sitwasyon. Baka naman mapaisip yung minimum wage earner na, oo nga, kaya siguro minimum wage lang ako na 400, 500, 600 per day. Dahil hindi makapasok yung mga dayuhan. But if you try to analyze yung proposal, hindi ko naman talaga maisip na pag-open up ng educational institutions, advertising industry, and public utility will be a pathway to a transformative economic development. No? So, kasi hindi lang ito yung isang kumpanya na papasok dito. Ang pinapangako dito ay hindi umuunlad yung bayan nyo dahil masyadong restrictive yung inyong saligang batas. So, sa tingin ko kapag tinutukan mo yung proposal, parang may disconnect doon sa pangako, doon sa sinasabi nila.
Okay. Alino ng paliwanag nyo, Attorney Florine Hilbay. No? Maraming salamat for joining us. Pero before we end, magbabasa lang ako ilang mga comments about you. Number one, sabi ni Cage, ganda ng topic pero grabe yung distraction dulot ng trooper helmet sa background. Collectors yan eh. Si Attorney Florine eh, no? Okay lang basahin ko to, sabi ni Claire. Wala ka raw sinabi kay Senator Padilla. Bar top toucher ka lang daw. Pero siya judge ng Pilipinas Got Talent. Anyway. ano ba mga pinagkakabalahan mo ngayon, ano, Attorney ano, Hilbay, bukod sa ano, sa pagtuturo at pagiging dekano ng Silliman College of Law? Ano ba mga pinagkakabalahan mo pa?
Well, actually, alam mo naman to, Christian, no? I'm very interested in the monetary system. I think we are at a stage where people all over the world are starting to see the problem with a broken monetary system, you know. And yung broken monetary system, whether it's the dollar in particular, the peso, or the euro, I think parang nasa dulo na siya nung kanyang buhay, no? Because currencies are dying at a faster and faster rate. And maraming mga tao, hindi lang Pilipino, no? Maraming mga tao, hindi nila nakikita yung relasyon ng broken monetary system dun sa inflation, for example. And so I think you need a lot of people who can explain to the public why a broken monetary system is affecting their lives. Makita mo, for example, sa YouTube and sa TikTok, ang daming mga tao, no, even in the US and Canada, mga professionals complaining about how they're not able to cope with inflation, 'di ba? Kung bakit napakamahal ng buhay ngayon. Even here dito sa Pilipinas, no, napakataas yung level ng inflation. So, ako, my focus really is to put my energy into telling people na, uy, sa to lang, meron ng solution sa ganyang problema. And you're going to experience in this century something very transformative. So, I'm very interested in technology. Sa tingin ko, dito sa 21st century, dalawang technology yung magbabago sa buhay ng lahat ng tao all over the world. The first one is artificial intelligence. That's easy to understand kasi app lang naman yan eh, di ba? The second one is a new monetary network, no? So I've written a book on it. It's called the Bitcoin Monetary Network. 99% of humanity doesn't understand it yet. But I think within the next 10, 20 years, more and more people will understand why, you know, a system that cannot be manipulated, a monetary system that cannot be manipulated, will be good for humanity.
Nakita ko yung libro. May libro si ano si Attorney Hilbay diyan, no? Very easy to understand. And in the future, let's devote one episode explaining that, no? Kasi yes. Nga, we're now in the fifth industrial revolution, pero sa dami ng pagbabago sa technology, para sa iyo to yung most disruptive and transformative, no? AI and the Bitcoin monetary system, tama ba?
Yeah, in fact, I think kung wala nang major technology na mangyari ngayon, those two technological developments will be more than enough to disrupt the way we live in the 21st century and even beyond.
Okay. O sige. I-invite kita ulit, Attorney Hilbay, to talk about that. No? In the meantime, maraming salamat sa'yo. It's very nice to see you again, Dean. Florine Hilbay, maraming salamat.
Salamat, Christian, and congratulations. I really like your platform, your independence, and your ability to stick to your journalistic principles.
Salamat, sir. Salamat. Saludo, tsaka dyan sa mga troopers sa likod mo. Maraming salamat.
Kailangan okay. natin ang maraming troopers.
Okay, oh, sige. Yan po si Attorney Florine Hilbay. Yan, nakasama po natin. No? Maraming salamat sa kanya. Yan, ganda ng paliwanag niya. No? Sana mas may natutunan po kayo regarding dito sa issue ng pagbabago sa ating konstitusyon. And again, as I always say, this is a very important opportunity for all of us to learn more about the issue. So I hope dito sa pagtatapos itong episode na ito, mas may napulot kayong karagdagang kaalaman dito sa ating pinag-uusapan na issue. Dahil hindi pa po tapos siya, no? Hindi po matatapos ang issue ng pagtutulak sa pagbabago o pag-amyanda sa ating saligang batas ngayong araw, no? So dahil tuloy-tuloy pa rin po yung efforts, especially coming from the House of Representatives. For instance, last week, meron ako nakausap na isang kongresista and sinasabi nila, hindi, tuloy na tuloy kami. Diba? Nasa kalagitnaan sila ngayon ng bakbakan sa pagitan ng House at saka ng Senado. No. At tuloy yan sinasabi ni Attorney Hilbay, dapat ang tutukan natin dito yung motibo. Ano ba talaga yung motibo ng mga nagtutulak ng pagbabago sa ating konstitusyon? And it's very important to invest our efforts to really understand what these people in power are trying to achieve. Kasi kung hindi po natin pagtsatsagaan yan, ikat tayo po yung kawawa, di ba? Kawawa po yung ordinaryong Pilipino. Kaya nga po, tinatsaga natin dito sa Facts First yung pagpapaliwanag ng mga basic issues na yan. Okay, so I hope nakakatulong po. In the meantime, meron po tayo lang mga babatiin ngayong gabi. I'd like to greet si, si Ma'am Teresita Sampaga. Sabi, nag-message po siya sa akin sa Facebook. Sabi niya, avid fan daw po siya. Tapos shoutout naman po dahil birthday po niya last February 3. 71 years old na po si Ma'am Teresita. Yan, maraming salamat po sa pagsuporta. Okay, maraming salamat po. Shoutout din kay Mark Pagtalunan. Ayan, maraming salamat sa iyo. Sabi ni Jocelyn Lumbero, facts over feelings talaga. Yan po yung bago nating t-shirt eh, no? Facts over feelings. Ayan. Wala po ibang konteksto yan. Actually, ang konteksto nung naisip ko yung facts over feelings na yan, ang iniisip ko rito yung mga botante na magpipili ng kandidato sa isang eleksyon dito sa Pilipinas, nadadala sa emotion eh, no? Of course, it's an emotional decision. Pero lagyan naman natin ng konting utak at mas isipin natin ng konti yung mga facts, no? Kasi kunwari, kung talagang established fact na magnanakaw ang isang kandidato, kahit may ibinibigay sa atin sa isang kampanya, baka dapat papag-isip man lang tayo ng konti, no? Makakabuti ba sa akin to in the long run? Alam ko it's a very complicated proposition. It's a very complicated question, especially kung ang pinag-uusapan po natin yung immediate needs ng mga botante. Pero that's the very reason why certain politicians run for public office and they prefer to keep people uninformed, uneducated, and poor para habang buhay po tayo nakaasa sa kanila kung ano yung ipapamudmud sa atin. When in fact, yung sistema po dapat ay maayos na para hindi na natin kailangan manghingi o pumila sa mga politiko para sa simpleng gamot, pagpapagamot, tulong pinansyal, pagpapalibing, di ba? Yan po yung isang konkretong example, no? Wag na po tayong lumayo. Puntahan niyo po yung mga barangay niyo kung saan man kayo nakatira. Anong town, city, or province, kung nasan man kayo, no? Tingnan niyo ba yung bang local governments niyo nagbibigay sa inyo ng local ng serbisyo, sapat na serbisyo. Kunwari kailangan niyo ng tulong medical. Pwede ba kayong pumunta sa maayos na ospital o health center? Or kinakailangan nyo pa bang kumatok sa pintuan ng mayor, doon sa pintuan ng kongresista o even senador para humingi ng referral letter sa isang ospital? Hindi ba dapat diretso na kayo sa ospital dahil nangangailangan kayo, matutulungan kayo? hindi nyo na kailangang magmanikluhod o magmano sa mga politiko. Kasi yun po yung tinatawag na patronage. And before you know it, nalilibing na po tayo, nababao na tayo sa utang na loob doon sa mga politiko. When in fact, yung binibigay naman nila sa mga mahirap, galing din naman sa atin yun eh. Diba? Pero bakit sila yung bida? Yun po yung ano, gusto ko ipaliwanag sa inyo. Yun po yung isang malalim na konteksto nung mensahe sa t-shirt na facts over feelings. No? Malalim po yung hugot nun. Hindi lang po siya basta-basta slogan. Ayan. Dito kay Damins Francisco, shout out sa mga taga Erosin, Sorsogon. Ayan, maraming salamat. Si Tessie, Ma'am Tessie, maraming salamat din po. Oo. Ayan. Si Ma'am Rose Williams, maraming salamat po. Si Marian Reyes, maraming salamat din po. Ayan. O sige po, no? You know, ano, happy weekend. Teka, medyo humihina na internet ko. Ayan na, mabalik. Oo. Dun po sa mga nagme-message sa akin, dyan po sa Sydney. Kita-kita po tayo dyan sa February 23. Yan. Nandyan po tayo. Tapos, first week of March, mapapadpad po tayo sa Singapore. So baka makasalubong po natin yung ilang mga kababayan po natin dyan sa Singapore. So kita-kita po tayo kung sakasakali. Okay, so maraming salamat po sa inyo and have a restful weekend. Magandang gabi po.